This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Abdul Carter's going to go before the New England Patriots pick at 4. It'd be an upset right now if Abdul Carter made his way to number 4. I would handicap Abdul Carter right now as the likely pick at number 2 today. We reserve the right to change our mind. A lot of things change, but the way this is shaking out to me, it looks like he's tracking to be a Brown, and let's see how it plays out.
That is Adam Schefter from a few days ago talking about what he's hearing right now at the top of the draft. I find it interesting. It appears, and whoever he was talking to mentioned it's fluid, appears he's hearing Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter going to the Browns at 2, and that the draft really starts at number 3 with the New York Giants, with Tennessee, it appears, going to take Miami Hurricanes quarterback Cam Ward. We are 27 days, 8 hours, 28 minutes, 27 minutes, and 58 seconds, thanks Tankathon, away from the first round of the NFL draft.
I was going to say, what are you counting?
And I'm interested in that move. If we're sitting here,
it makes it even funnier considering the money that they just gave to Myles Garrett.
See, that's why I like it. If we're sitting here, pick 2 happens and it's Abdul Carter. I think objectively, talent wise, not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
Yes.
And then if you tell me, ooh, Carter on one side, Myles Garrett on the other, you're sitting there going, oh, okay, yes. You tell me Kenny Pickett started quarterback, I'm like, no. But what have we kept hearing about this draft class?
What if I instead said Kenny Pickett starting at quarterback? All I have to say is not Deshaun Watson starting.
Well, not Deshaun Watson, which is probably going to be better.
It hits harder.
I wish it was Jameis Winston. I had so much fun. But that's neither here nor there. You're right. It's better than Deshaun Watson. But I hear that, and my mind is immediately gone to, and this is the moment I saw this tweet, my mind immediately went to, I like this. It's different. It tells me 2 things. One, they're not going to force a quarterback. It appears. They're not going to force a quarterback in a year that is a bad quarterback draft. Objectively, like that's what we keep hearing, is that it's Cam Ward and then we don't know how far Shedeur Sanders could fall.
Watch them take Quinn Ewers in the second round.
Ewers, we'll see if Dart maybe falls. Dart, I don't think it's out of the first round, but all of a sudden if Shedeur's... But if Shedeur's all of a sudden available in the 20s, he's going to be the second quarterback taken. That makes sense. So maybe it's Dart or you've mentioned Quinn Ewers. Or this also told me Kevin Stefanski has a lot of job security. Maybe both him and Andrew Berry. And so they're okay to go.
Half good, half bad.
But But they're okay to be like, hey, take the best player available. Make this defense even better. Or make the pass rush even better. Because the defense, I think, overall was not great. But
Garrett's how do you awesome. Fix the woes of an ailing secondary?
Well, yeah. The defensive line has two of the best players
how
in the league,
times
maybe.
Have I started saying this is offseason with the Bills.
Yeah. And then they're like, and we'll go figure out quarterback next year. I mean, that's something most GMs and coaches sadly don't have, is that job security. It's why I think if you're the Giants, why do they go sign Russell Wilson? Well, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have basically been told, if we're not winning immediately, you're gone.
John Mara is getting way too involved with that team, and it's showing.
It's showing, and Hard Knocks did not help. I think that's a big reason why we're not getting an offseason one, is how badly that went for the Giants. But Cam Ward appears to be kind of the only good quarterback in this class, or prospect that people can get excited about. He has, I think, elevated himself beyond some of these guys. But I kind of like the idea of Cleveland going, no, we are going to treat it like we are quote-unquote fans, which is we're not leaving. You know, one bad season is not going to send us down the drain. You know, they got to a playoff spot with Joe Flacco at quarterback. Did they make a bad move with Deshaun Watson? Hell yeah. But making sure that it's not the end-all, be-all situation, I think is how you maybe get better decisions out of your head coach and general manager, out of your coaches and your management, is to be like, hey, focus on this year of just getting more talent. We're not a good team. You know, a bad quarterback doesn't get you three wins. A bad team gets you three wins.
Yes.
And figure out then next year, when the quarterback class potentially looks much better, then you go strike. We see this all the time. The highest, you know, quarterback taken in the draft doesn't always end up playing the best, mainly because their team is terrible. They're going to the worst organization. So all of a sudden the Browns, let's take, you know, they take Abdul Carter, they fix their defense, what have you, and they win seven games. But then you add a quarterback and it's like, okay, well now, yep. Especially we've seen these quarterbacks hit immediately. Not all of them, but many of them are hitting right away. They can play right away. More college snaps, more games. Then there are 10 wins, and then you're off to the races again. It's more uncomfortable. It's a little sloppy. You have now some skeletons in your closet, but it's probably better than just burning it all down because the owner got involved in a quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my biggest thing.
Honestly, they might still need to. That's the thing. Say you make these moves.
Yeah.
They still might have to do it anyway.
Oh, I have no issue. But then you can still take one in the first round. Until you got one, keep taking them.
Yeah.
That's always been my philosophy. Until you have a quarterback, don't stop.
And I do think that, really, the security does help in that sort of way because you don't have to make any desperate moves.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioning the Giants and everything like that. Or ready? The Steelers. Tomlin has job security because the Steelers do not fire coaches. However, man,
they're just the worst.
You want to talk about bungling the position so bad right now that all that's left is the diva?
Who may not play.
Oh, no. I'm not buying that for a second.
No, but it's still the fact that, like, you are just handcuffed by this guy who's 41.
Ready? I think Pittsburgh can get aggressive and say that, like, they actually like someone in this draft class. It would be genuinely hilarious if Pittsburgh drafts a quarterback in the first round again and says, no, Aaron, we're not waiting for you either.
Yeah, like we're done. I think we'll hear about that before the draft, though.
Yeah.
That'll be something where in the next 10 to 15 days, if he's still not signed, it's like Pittsburgh's moved on.
Yeah.
Rodgers is now going to have to wait for something to happen in camp for him to find a team. He's done.
Bye-bye.
Or he does retire. I'm with you. I think he wants to stay in the spotlight as long as possible.
Yeah, not buying that for a second.
But I've always liked the idea of Jackson Dart to the Steelers in a surprise first round draft pick. If Shador were to go early and all of a sudden Dart's available for them, where are they picking? Let me make sure on this. They are picking at 21. Wouldn't actually be an awful spot for Dart either. You still get the 5th-year option.
And but also, if they need to move up, they can
move up. But also, you made the big move for DK Metcalf. Kind of surprising everybody. And you still have Pickens for now. We'll see. It's not a bad spot to put a young quarterback in with two really good receivers. Potentially, you know, the quote-unquote diva, both of them. But Dart likes to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And he's not terrible at it. I mean, he can send it deep.
It is going to matter. It's going to matter how does that top four shake out.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee, I think all signs are pointing to they're going to take Cam Ward.
Yep.
Cleveland, if we're going off this report, Abdul Carter. Then the draft starts at 3. Now, are the Giants a team that's going to be, let's go get Travis Hunter? Or are they thinking, we just need talent. We just need anybody. We don't really have the luxury to have Hunter play at cornerback and take him at three overall and the kind of at receiver. Let's go take Mason Graham or the best cornerback on the board, which I guess would also be Travis Hunter.
Yep.
I think Patriots kind of believe that they're going to get Hunter.
They believe that they're going to get Hunter. It would be objectively hilarious then to see if the Giants do take Hunter.
And what do the Patriots do?
Lament that Joe Milton had a game against Buffalo?
He did.
Yeah. That would be my first reaction would be, oh, did Joe Milton really have to show off against Buffalo like that? Because we could have just had Hunter at one.
Yeah, we would have just taken the guy that we wanted to
take.
That would be very much how New England's offseason has
also,
gone, though.
You mentioning how the Giants have been with, like, maybe they just take the best player available of a sort of sense. New England has ammunition that if they really feel threatened about Travis Hunter, they can do a Chicago Bears trade.
Oh, and just where they went and got Mitch, yeah.
And jump up to three, maybe even two. Just to get their guy, because they have two-thirds.
They have the ammunition to do it.
And that's probably the price you're paying to leapfrog one team.
I'm so curious to what the Giants and the Patriots kind of seems like you sort of know what they want to do, which is go get a guy like Hunter. That appears to be the feeling.
What's a third-round pick and what, like throwing a sixth or seventh?
Right.
To move up one or two spots.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thoughts?
Man, it's so curious. Or you could be the Giants also, though, could be looking at themselves like, we got to get better on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they try, and it's a bad tackle class. Let's try to take the best tackle, whether it be Will Campbell, who apparently had way bigger arms than everyone thought at the combine, because apparently measurements just are whatever. I don't know. They'll be at the Senior Bowl, their arms too short, Pro Bowl, arms too short, Pro Day. No issues, actually. I know.
It's Pro Day. It's the school.
But I'm like, then why are we doing this?
Yeah. But it's to try to up draft class. That's why.
Yeah.
Up the draft status. That's why.
Yep.
That is literally why.
So, yeah, maybe Will Campbell there for them. It's just, I like this draft a lot. I've mentioned this. I think the draft is going to play out perfectly for the Bills. I think they're going to have a lot of choices, whether it be D-tackle or cornerback.
Not just the Bills.
It seem to be the big ones.
It is going to be something that we did not see at all last year. There's going to be some aggression again.
I hope so. That was so boring last year.
Because it was boring once it started getting to everyone's just taking the best player available because all those teams went for quarterbacks. The top 12 was exciting in a sense of what the hell is going on, but then it turned into nobody wants to trade because the draft board is falling in everybody's favor to where they're like, no, I'm not going to move. Are you stupid?
Yeah, everyone took either you were taking a quarterback or just the best player available. The first defensive player doesn't go off the board until 15 with the Colts.
Which is disgusting.
I mean, if we're being honest, the most fun pick was probably Michael Penix at 8.
Yes.
Because you're like, excuse me?
And Atlanta did a what now?
Yeah, that was probably like the most fun move, I guess.
Ultimately good for them because now it looks like it was probably the right decision all along. Because of what happened to Cousins, not because of Penix, but also just like, okay, yeah, maybe you did want to take a young guy so that you can set yourself up long-term at quarterback because Cousins is exactly what people were worried
about.
Everyone
was worried about.
Which is, he came off an Achilles tear, and he's not very mobile in the first place, and he's Kirk Cousins.
But I think this draft class could work out perfectly for the Bills in terms of who they want, who they can get, the position availability. I don't necessarily know about corner in round one. I constantly have an issue with that in terms of positional value. I have said it a lot. I'm usually somebody that would like to wait at corner, and you have 2 second-round picks. And I think a guy like Siobhan Revelle, who I know Nate has been a big fan
Nate
of.
Nate is pounding the table on that.
We were talking about him off air, and I'm like, I think he could be available in the second round. If you want to trade up, go get him. I think he's going to be there.
I also think that a player that Nate would also love, Benjamin Morrison, would probably be a round two grade.
Yeah. And that's not the Notre Dame bias either. That defense was incredible.
I even said to Nate on social media, I'm like, I will forgive your Notre Dame bias this year because the defense is legit.
Him and then Xavier Watts, the safety.
the two of them. Those are targets.
That secondary was so good.
That's day two targets for me. Like, I'm going to be pretty much like, Nate, I may hate Notre Dame with every fiber of my being, but I'm going to drop my bias and I'm going to accept yours for the weekend because that defense is nasty.
Do you have a player in this draft where you've decided, not position, but a player where you're like, that might be the one guy I don't love if the Bills did take him? I have one guy.
I don't have a hate list yet, and I think that's going to come with time. Last year, for example, that was ironically Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
I also had that with Josh Allen back in the day. So I'm not a scout.
Right.
So I don't really worry about the hate picks anymore or the ones that I'm scared about because maybe I should because my hit rate is actually...
Your hit rate on the ones that you don't like is pretty good.
It's actually very good for jinxing power. So, yes, I do need to find guys that I don't like. So,
Kenneth Grant, say it. Say it for the world. Say it for the world.
Say it for you.
Exactly. I'm the world. I know I'm not alone with Bills fans.
You're always the world to me, BB.
There we go. The one guy I don't totally love, and I feel bad because I kind of stopped doing my homework on him when I saw the comparison, Walter Nolan on Ole Miss. The one NFL comparison I keep seeing for him is Ed Oliver. And in my head, I'm like, that's not the guy they need. That is not the guy they need.
They don't need another three tech like that.
Yeah, and that's, again, why I bring up Grant a lot. Derek Harmon out of Oregon. Big space eater guy, over 300 pounds, 6'4", or 6'5". He was on a very good Oregon defense. Deion Walker, I think for a lot of people for a long time out of Kentucky, he though appears to just be big and not really very fast, which is sort of concerning. But Tylek Williams, a guy who actually his pro day didn't go great for Ohio State. I don't know if you saw, he fell during his 40, kind of had to walk off for a little bit. Seems to be fine, but didn't look great. Alfred Collins, if you want to wait, out of Texas, 6'6", 330. So, I mean, there's a few guys they can go get. I look at guys like Walter Nolan, and I didn't even say Shamar Stewart out of A&M, because Shamar Stewart
is a guy that I want.
Okay, is he?
He was someone that I started to target, but I'm like, is he going to go in like the teens, in the late teens?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, hey, maybe still go get him anyway. I don't know. You have ammunition to move around the board in your first two rounds, quite literally anywhere you want.
See, he's somebody I look at, and I'm like, I'm good. Great athlete, limited production. I don't love that.
I would want to look at the underlying numbers at that point to see what is working and what's not. Just to see like if the production hasn't been there, why?
Yeah.
So
I think it's and then you know we're talking all the line guys there, but even cornerbacks. We've mentioned Benjamin Morrison, Siobhan Revell, of course. I don't think Jahdae Barron is going to be there for Texas.
No.
I think he's going to be out. But Maxwell Harrison, who I know Pete Prisco was on with One Bills Library this week, he really brought him up as a guy, great tackler, kind of always on the ball, would probably be really good for the Bills to be, you know, even maybe in the first round. Or, of course, I know somebody that's been mocked to the Bills a lot, Trey Amos from Ole Miss.
There's a lot.
Last year it felt like it needs to be receiver and, oh, God, where are they going to fall? This year it feels like there's going to be a chock full of positions. There's just like three positions I don't want them to take.
There's also the defensive line and the defensive tackle in particular is so interesting this year that there's even a guy that's probably an undrafted free agent that people would want to look at, and that's Florida's Desmond Watson.
I was waiting for you to bring him up.
Oh, my God.
400 pounds. What is he, 6'3"?
6'6".
Oh,
464.
Wow. He's just going to be a guy, sixth round.
What did he end up running at the 5'8"? 5'8"6 at the 40. You had something about this. You had fun with numbers about what that would correlate to.
So I don't know if the math is correct because someone else on Twitter already did it. Oh, the post is deleted.
I think the math was wrong.
Basically, the guy did the math that like somehow you could figure out the kinetic energy of that guy running a 5'8"6 at 464 pounds could equate to like a 240 pound linebacker running a 40 yard dash in like 3 seconds.
But also, I hear kinetic force and I get excited.
Yeah, like think about how big that guy is and how fast he's going. Like,
that's terrifying.
Yeah, what could he run through?
Ow!
You gonna tush push through that?
Yeah.
Well, so and on that too, there's kind of rumblings. Diana Rossini, we got to take a break here in a second, but Diana Rossini reported today, nothing official, but there's maybe some rumblings that
it's actually
next week
steam.
We might get some steam here of it, maybe the tush push getting.
Be interesting to talk to Sal and see what he's hearing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that because, look, there's going to be also some stuff with the kickoff. I don't know if you saw moving the touchback to the 35 yard line is up for vote.
But also, one last thing on
him, if it doesn't.
Des Watson?
Yeah. He also had a 25-inch vertical at 464 pounds.
Yeah, it appeared Florida was like, you're here for short yardage situations.
You are
and
here
to be fair, the NFL probably would be the same thing, which is you're a space eater. You're here to stop the other big guys.
Ready? I have a run-heavy team. You're on my practice squad. You're in elevation that day.
Yeah.
That's quite frankly what I would say.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to be a quick final segment when we come back. Do want to touch on UB women as they advance in the NIT. We'll do that after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.